ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुनुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितै यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. सो I'm going to read out the mantras from the beginning. Prathama Mundake Prathamaha Khandaha. In the first Mundaka, first section, we are seeing the first chapter. We just see Upanishad begins with the glorification of the knowledge by mentioning the Sampradaya. ॐ ब्रह्मं देवानां प्रथमः सम्बभूव विश्वस्य कर्ता भुवनस्य गोप्ता सब्रह्म विद्यां सर्वविद्याप्रतिष्ठां अथर्वाय ज्येष्ठपुत्राय प्राह अथर्वणे याम प्रवदेत ब्रह्मा अथर्वा तं पुरोवाच अंगिरे अथर्वा तं पुरोवाचांगिरे ब्रह्म विद्याम सभारद्वाजाय सत्यवाहाय प्राह भारद्वाजोऽङ्गिरसे परावराम् I'm repeating the second mantra. अथर्वणे याम् प्रवदेत ब्रह्मा अथर्वा तम् पुरोवाचाङ्गिरे अथर्वा तम् पुरोवाचाङ्गिरे ब्रह्म विद्याम् स भारद्वाजाय सत्यवहाय प्राह भारद्वाजोऽङ्गिरसे परावराम् भारद्वाजोऽङ्गिरसे परावराम् I just want to break these words. अथर्वणे ब्रह्मा यां प्रवदेत So we saw Lord himself gave this wisdom to Atharva Rishi, Atharvani. Then Atharva gave this to Angir. And Angir, Rishi Angir gave this to Satyavahaha, the son of Bharadwaja Rishi. Therefore he is known as Bharadwajaha. Satyavahaha is son of Bharadwajaha, therefore known as Bharadwajaha. Then this Satyavahaha, son of Bharadwaja, gave this to Angiras. So all these different names, Brahma, who is Vishwasya Karta, creator of the universe, also protector of the universe, not only really the creator, protector of the universe, gave this Brahma Vidya to Atharva, his eldest son. Then Atharva gave this to Angir. Angir gave this to Satyavaha. Satyavaha gave this to Angiras. So I said, it's only first two mantras present the glory of Brahma Vidya. We're mentioning that this knowledge comes from Bhagavan himself. So this knowledge which has been coming down from Bhagavan as the beginning link is timeless wisdom, and it has been coming down through the unbroken lineage of teachers who know sampradaya. Okay. And this Brahma Vidya is also known as Paravara Vidya, which I explained last class. This Brahma Vidya is also known as Paravara Vidya. Paraha in this context means, you know, the word param or paraha or para means absolute, ultimate, superior, great. But here the word also means exalted. But here the word paraha stands for guruhu. Within the para, then avaraha stands for the disciple. So paraha guruhu, avaraha disciple. And para plus avara becomes paravara. The paravara vidya, the knowledge which is given to the disciple, which comes to the disciple from the teacher, the knowledge which comes to the disciple, which is transferred to the disciple's mind from the teacher's mind through the communication, the knowledge which is transferred from the teacher's head to the student's head through communication is called Paravara Vidya. So these two verses also emphasize another fact, that knowledge of the reality, Brahma Vidya, should not be pursued independently without the help of a teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, who knows teaching methodology. There's also another fact emphasized. Now I'm going to the third mantra. Shaunako Havai. Shaunako Havai. Mahashalaha. Let me read the mantra first. Shaunako Havai. You see the Shaunako Havai. There, break it. Shaunakaha. Visarga. Shaunako is the mantra. For the meaning, we should make it Shaunakaha. Shaunakaha. Shaunakaha becomes Shaunako. Ha is an expression simply added to adjust the meter, which means indeed. Vai. Mahashalaha. Mahashalaha. Shaunakoha vai Mahashalaha. Angirasam. Angirasam. Mahashalaha Angirasam. Because what? Mahashalongirasam. Mahashalongirasam is the expression. You break it. Mahashalaha Angirasam. Mahashalaha Angirasam. How is it read? Mahashalongirasam. When we do vriddhis, sorry, this visarga sandhi, it will become very clear. Mahashalaha angirasam. Mahashalongirasam. Shaunakohavai mahashalongirasam. Shaunakohavai mahashalongirasam. How do you make it? Shaunakaha ha vai mahashalaha angirasam. Next, vidhivat upasannaha. paprachha vidhivat upasannaha paprachha vidhivat upasannaha. The takara becomes the because sandhi rule. Vidhivat upasannaha vidhivat upasannaha paprachha vidhivadupasannaf paprachha vidhivadupasannaf paprachha vidhivadupasannaf paprachha. Next slide. Kasmin nu kasmin nu kasmin nu bhagavo bhagavah. Bhagavo is bhagavah. Kasmin nu bhagavo vijnate vijnate sarvamidam sarvam idam sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati iti. Kasminno bhagavo vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati iti. Bhavati iti bhavati prasiti bhavati iti savarna dirgha sandhi. Bhavati plus iti bhavati iti. Shaunakoha vai mahashalongirasam vidhivadupasannaf paprachha. I want to know the mantras thoroughly. Without knowing the mantras, how much have you explained? I have learned through my experience to understand everything in the class. Afterward, everything will go above the head. Nothing will stay in the head. So learn the mantras thoroughly so you can memorize the mantras. Kas shaunakoha vai mahashalongirasam vidhivadupasannaf paprachha. Shaunakoha vai mahashalongirasam vidhivadupasannaf paprachha. Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavatiti. Kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavatiti. So here, the after having beautifully presented the glory of Brahma Vidya, presenting few important names, the names of the rishis who come in the parampara, and which begins with Bhagavan himself. Now Upanishad introduces this student. The third mantra, Upanishad introduces the student disciple who, through whom the teaching is going to be presented for us. This Upanishad presents the name of a disciple first. One disciple. And so, what is the name of the disciple? Shaunakaha. Shaunakaha. When you see Shaunakaha, don't get something. Why? Not nothing. Just as a name. Shaunakaha is a name of a person, and he is the disciple here, a student. And who is this Shaunakaha? The description of Shaunakaha. The description of Shaunaka given in this mantra shows that the person who approaches the teacher for Brahma Vidya must be really a mature individual. An immature person cannot approach the teacher, cannot ask for the Brahma Vidya. He must be a mature individual. For a person to be a mature individual, he must have lived his life properly. For a person to be eligible for knowledge of the truth, even to aspire for the knowledge of the truth, he must be definitely a mature individual. And which means this person must have lived his life properly. He must have lived a life of karma yoga, completely a governed, dharma governed life by living his life as a grihastha. He must have been a householder who would have lived a proper life of karma yoga, which means which must have helped him prepare his mind for jnanam. Not only that, even to aspire for jnanam, he must have lived his life properly. He must have understood the limitations of everything in life. Otherwise, unless and until a person understands the limitations of everything in life, that nothing in life will give me happiness other than jnanam. If a person cannot understand the value of jnanam, unless a person understands the value of jnanam, he cannot aspire for jnanam. So, the person who is presented in the third mantra is called Shaunakaha, who is a disciple. And the description of Shaunaka is also given here, the same mantra. What does the mantra say? Shaunakaha ha vai mahashalaha. Mahashalaha. Mahashalaha means here the person who has big house. Mahashalaha. The big kitchen. Immediately we will laugh. In Vedic tradition, food, kitchen, everything is very important. Mahashalaha means he must have owned a very big house, and there he must have had a very, very big kitchen. Very big kitchen means there must have been a lot of food must have been cooked in the kitchen, and they must have been distributing food for many people. And the food will be distributed for many people only if they were performing big pujas and they were highly religious and involved in religious activities such as performing rituals, worship, puja, etc. So one word, Mahashalaha, expresses this Shaunakaha is a man of big house with a big kitchen, which shows he must have been a performer of many big rituals. He must have been performer of big pujas. He must have been highly worshipful and prayerful. His family must have distributed abundance of food for many, many people. All those things are, implicitly revealed by the one expression, Mahashalaha. Mahashalaha Shaunakaha. Not an ordinary person, is a grihastaha, a householder. Household alone can, a married man. He alone is eligible to perform rituals. And to perform rituals, to perform worship, pujas, and thereby to offer food as prasadam to many people. And he must be able to cook a lot of food, for which he must have a big kitchen. And not only that, he must have big house to accommodate many people to serve food for all of them. Which means he was really highly, not only prosperous person, he was highly prosperous, he must be a prosperous, rich, religiously, ethically, and in every respect he must have been next great person, that he is a Mahashala, presented as a Mahashala. And this Shaunakaha, Mahashalaha, Papracha is a verb, past perfect tense verb, lit. What is the present tense verb? Prichati, asks. Prishtavan, asked. Aprichat, asked. Papracha had asked. This Shaunaka, who is of this description, Mahashalaha, asked. Ask whom did he ask? What did he ask? How did he ask? That is said by another expression. Angirasam paprachya. So Angiras is a name of the teacher. The disciple's name is mentioned. The guru's name also is mentioned here, the same mantra. Who is the teacher here? Shaunakaha is the student and Angiras is the teacher. And this Angirasam, Sakarantaha, Pullingaha, Angiras Shabdaha. Ditya Vibhakto, Yeka Vachane, Angirasam, Iti Rupam. In objective case, singular, Angirasam. Angirasam Papracha. He asked Angiras. Shaunaka asked Angiras. His question is about Bhima Vidya. So he did not ask, he did not call him, he did not text him on WhatsApp, not email him. Now look at directly went to him in person. Approached him in person. Upasannaha. Upasannaha means approached, as approached, approached him, approaching him. How? Vidhivat. Vidhivat means as per the rule. When a disciple seeks, as a seeker of Brahma Vidya, wants the teaching, and how should he approach the teacher? How should a student approach the teacher? That is taught in the tradition. So this, see, a person must be cultured, a cultured, refined person. Only then he knows how to approach. Refinement implies maturity, living a life of dharma, God, being God-fearing in Vedic language means being a person of dharma, being a person committed to dharma is being a God-fearing person. So, noble person, a noble-minded, noble person who is committed to live a life of, who is committed to dharma, who lived a life of dharma, such a person approached the teacher. Upasannaha means approached. How did he approach? Vidhivat, as per the rule. How we should approach? Vidhivat means he must have gone to him and introduced himself politely. He must have explained that I am so and so. I would like to learn from you. Would you please teach me? Would you please give me this Brahma Vidya? And like that, he must have requested. He must have done, you know, he must have fell flat under the teacher, and all that is implied by saying vidhivat upasannaha. Upasanna means having approached, having gone near. Having gone near, having approached him, vidhivat, as per the rule. Who approached whom? Shaunakaha approached Angiras as per the rule and asked him. Vidhivat upasannaha Angirasam Shaunakaha Mahashalakaha Shaunaha Shaunakaha Papracha asked him. Now next line says, what did Shaunaka ask Angiras? When the person approaches the teacher, considering him as a guru, and he as a disciple, he approaches him, naturally he cannot ask for anything else except Brahma Vidya. A person goes to the teacher and asks, come on, I have come here. Now make me rich. Give me this boon, that boon. Now give me job. Something, he can't ask all of those things. Now he approaches the teacher as a disciple, means definitely he asks only for Brahma Vidya. But he's asking, Hey Bhagavaha, Kasminnu Bhagavaha, Dar Bhagavo. If you read Bhagavo, it's Bhagavaha. Hey Bhagavaha. Hey Bhagavaha is a Vedic expression. Actually, it must have, it, how should we take it conventional language? Hey Bhagavan. Hey Bhagavan is the right expression in conventional language. We cannot write it in Sanskrit examination as Bhagavaha. If you write Bhagavaha, they won't give you marks. Bhagavan is the vocative case of Bhagavat Shabdaha. Takarantaha Pullingaha Bhagavat Shabdaha in vocative case, Hey Bhagavan, O Lord. See, he addresses the teacher. How should a disciple greet the teacher? As a male teacher, the male student approaches him, he calls him, Hey Bhagavan, O Lord. But Bhagavaha is exception. It is a Chandasa Prayogaha. Chandasa Prayogaha means Vedic usage. We should not say it is wrong. At the same time, we should not use it in our conventional language. Hey Bhagavaha means Hey Bhagavan. Hey Bhagavan, he is addressing the teacher as the O Lord. Why? Because the teacher who knows the truth, who has profound knowledge of the truth, is as revered as the Lord. In Vedic tradition, the teacher is revered as the Lord. Okay, he is the one who is going to show who the Lord is, who is going to make you understand and give you the understanding of who Bhagavan is. The teacher is the one who shows who Bhagavan is. Mother has to tell the child who the father is. And similarly, the guru has to show who Bhagavan is. Otherwise, who the Lord is, who the God is. We may believe there's God, but we cannot understand who Bhagavan is unless we are taught properly. Therefore, Guru is as revered as Bhagavan in Vedic tradition. Therefore, he addresses the teacher as, Hey Bhagavaha, O Lord. Now he asks, what is the question? Very important question. Kasmin. No. That no has no meaning. Just it's used in the context here. Indeed. Kasmin. Kasmin is what? Kasmin is locative singular of the Kim Shabdaha. Makarantaha Pullingaha Kim Shabdaha Kasmin. Kaha Kam Kena Kasmai Kas. No, kasmat, kasya, kasmin, locative case, kasmin. Kasmin means in whom, in which, in what, locative case. In which, in what, in whom, that's the literal meaning. Kasmin, no, bhagavo, kasmin, he bhagavaha, kasmin, vijnate. Kasmin vijnate. Okay. Vijnatam means, listen. Vijnata is a past passive participle of vijanati. Vijnata known. Vijnata is known. Kasmin vijnate. Together when you take it, it's called in Sanskritam, Sati Saptami. Sati Saptami. I'll tell you what is Sati Saptami later on. That is a grammar, a Sanskrit language class I'll explain to you. But now understand, kasmin vijnate, in knowing which, or having known which, kasmin vijnate, by knowing which, in knowing which, or having known which, kasmin nu vijnate, sarvam idam, all this means this entire objective universe. Okay, say everything, all this, whatever is here, or sarvam idam, vijnatam bhavati. Bhavati becomes vijnatam, known. All this becomes known. Sarvam idam, all this vijnatam, known, bhavati becomes. Sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. All this becomes known. What's the question? Oh Lord, what is that in knowing which, by knowing which, having known which, all this becomes known as it were. Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. Simple, what is simple translation? Kasya jnanena sarva jnanam bhavati. By knowledge, by knowing which, all knowledge happens. So what is that one, what is that one thing by knowing which all this becomes known as it were? Everything becomes known as it were. It is impossible for us to know everything here. But he is asking the question, is there anything at all? Is there something? What is that one thing by knowing which everything becomes known as it were? Kasmin vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. Everything can be known. So everything becomes known as it were. Everything becomes as good as, but knowing one thing is as good as knowing everything else. What is that one thing? Please tell me. That is the question. So Shaunakaha, Mahashalaha Shaunakaha, the highly cultured, religious, great householder, known for his religious and ethical life, who lived a life of karma yoga, was aspiring for jnanam, approached proper manner the teacher Angiras and asked this question, kasmin nu vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. He Bhagavaha, O Lord, kasmin nu vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. Everything becomes, all this becomes known as it were. So what is that? By knowing the absolute reality, satye vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. I'm giving the answer now, okay? Parama satye vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. By knowing the absolute reality, everything, all this becomes known as it were. He did not want to waste his time. He did not, that's why when people who are very intelligent, sometimes people who are very sharp, they cannot stand sometimes nonsense. And that also gets, that's why you must be really a wise person, not to be irritated also. People get irritated, people get angry, people get upset, they don't like, and the anger is so much, they can't stand nonsense. So you are very sharp. Others are not sharp. They can't enjoy the company of the people who are not very thoughtful, very thinking. That's a problem. That's why sometimes, that's why wise people can accommodate anybody. Whereas the intelligent, sharp people sometimes cannot stand the people who are very ordinary people, simple people, who are not very much given to thinking. They accommodate. They get irritated. They get angry. I know myself. You know, we see some people with us. Sometimes it happens. But here, and when a mature individual approaches the teacher, and what should it be the conversation? There's no waste. They can't waste time. Straight away the question. No. See, the clearer you are in your head, you will not waste time. It'll be very brief and very clear. Sometimes we have to be too elaborate, too descriptive. Sometimes why? When you have to make things clear for people who are not adequately clear. It shows one more thing. If you are clear-minded, you are very sure of what you want, what you seek, and you're very clear about whom you approach, what you want to know, then you need not have too many words. Ask only words. That's also revealed here. He straightway goes to the teacher and asks the question, Hey Bhagavaha, kasminna vijnate sarvam idam vijnatam bhavati. Straight question, straightforward question. What is one thing, what is that one thing by knowing which everything else, all this becomes known as it were. Okay. Now we'll go to next mantra. Let me do mantra once again. Shaunakoha vai mahashalaha angirasam vidhivadupasannaf papracha kasminnu bhagavo vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavatiti. Bhavati iti papracha. He Bhagavaha, kasminnu vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati iti mahashalaha shaunakaha angirasam vidhivat upasannaha papracha. Iti papracha. Asked thus. Is it clear? Endru ketar. Iti papracha. Get the proharder now. Mahashalaha, Shaunakaha, Vidhivat Upasannaha, Angirasam, Vidhivat Upasannaha, Kasmin Bhagavo, Bhagavo, He Bhagavaha, Kasminnu Vignate, Sarvam Idam Vignatam Bhavati Iti, Papracha, is the prose order of the mantra. Next mantra, fourth mantra. Fourth mantra presents the teacher's answer. Tasmai sa hovacha. Tasmai sa hovacha. Tasmai sa hovacha. Tasmai sa ha. Uvacha. You had to break it. Tasmai sa ha uvacha. Break it. Tasmai to him. Tasmai is what? Dakarantaha pullingaha tad shabdaha. Chaturthi Bhakto Yeka Vachane Tasmai Tirupam. Fourth case of Saha. Isn't it Tatshabda? Tasmai to him. To whom? To whom? To Shaunaka. Tasmai Saha Uvacha. Sa is Saha. Saha Angiras. Rishi Angiras. Of indeed. Uvacha. Uvacha is past perfect tense of Vadati. Okay. Tasmai Uvacha. No, Angiras said to Shaunaka. Angiras spoke to Shaunaka. Angiras said to Shaunaka. Tasmai to him. Then Tasmai, that first Tasmai stands for to him means to Shaunaka. Saha means Saha Angiras. Saha Angiras. Tasmai Shaunakaya Ha Uvacha replied. Answered, said, Saha Angiras, Tasmai Shaunakaya Uvacha. Is it clear? Angiras said to Shaunaka. Dve Vidye Veditavye. Dve Vidye Veditavye. Ha prasuvacha, ho vacha, gunasandhi, you know very well. Tasmai sa ha uvacha. Dve vidye veditavye. Iti ha sma. That ha sma etc. are simply added. Dve vidye veditavye iti. Dve vidye veditavye iti ha sma. Yad Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. Yad Brahma Vido Vadanti. Yad Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. Brahma Vido Vadanti. Para cha yeva chaiva. Apara cha para cha yeva. Apara cha. Paracha yeva aparacha. Paracha yeva aparacha. Paracha yeva aparacha. Parachaiva paracha. Parachaiva paracha. Break it para. Cha, yeva, chaiva, gunasandhi, vriddhi sandhi. Cha, yeva, chaiva, then apara, cha. Paracha, yeva, aparacha. Parachaiva, paracha. Okay, now, Angirishi Angiras, who was approached by Shaunaka, said to Shaunaka, what did he say? Iti. Dve vidye veditavye iti. Hasma. Yat brahma vidaha vadanti. Paracha eva aparacha. He said to Shaunaka. Dve vidye. Twofold knowledge. Vidya, vidye, vidyaha. Akaranta stilinga shabdaha vidya. Vidya, vidye, vidyaha. Mala, male, malaha. Lata, late, lataha. Is it vidya, vidye, vidyaha? Why vidye dual? Dve vidye. Two-fold knowledge. Veditavye. Veditavye means should be known. Veditavyam. Veditavya should be known singular. Veditavye should be known. Dve vidye veditavye. Two-fold knowledge. must be known. Now that will mean today. Iti, the teacher is very careful. No genuine traditional teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, who is given to the teaching of Upanishads, will ever say, I am teaching you this. I teach whatever other teachers have taught me. That's what Parampara has taught me. There must be intellectual honesty on the part of the teacher. He cannot claim anything as his or her own. So here he says, the twofold vidya, two vidyas have to be understood, have to be studied. Two vidyas should be known. Ve vidye veditavye. And what are they? Paravidya, aparavidya. There is paravidya and there is aparavidya. And he says, the twofold vidya in terms of para and apara should be known. And Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. This I am not saying. Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. Brahma Vidaha means wise people who have the clear vision of the truth, Brahma. And those wise people, the teachers who come in the lineage of teachers, they say this. Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. Brahma Vidaha. Brahma with knower of reality singular. Brahma without dual. Brahma Vidaha plural. Brahma Vidaha. Knowers of the reality. Wise people who have the clear vision of reality implied by the term Brahma are known as Brahma Vidaha. This Brahma Vidaha, Brahma with singular, Brahma Vidaha plural. There are many wise people who have clear vision of the reality, who had the vision and who are our teachers who come in the lineage of teachers, Parampara. All our ancestors, all our teachers who come in the tradition, they all reveal the same fact. Brahma Vidaha Vadanti. No teacher of Brahma Vidya contradicts another teacher of Brahma Vidya. Why? The fact taught by them is one and the same. And for all of them, Shruti is the only pramanam. Whichever teacher has the clear vision and whichever teacher unfolds the same teaching, and for him, for all of them, Shruti is the only pramanam. Veda is the only pramanam. All of them had Veda, and all of them had their own, all of them must learn from their teachers who are part of the Champarampara. Therefore, they cannot contradict each other. Therefore, he says, Brahma Vidaha Vadanti, the wise people who have clear vision of reality, Brahma, and all those wise people, our teachers in the tradition, they reveal this fact. They say this fact. It is not simply I am saying this to you. They say that twofold vidya, two vidyas should be understood, known. And one is paravidya, other is aparavidya. Now, Upanishad, what is paravidya? What is aparavidya? He is going to explain himself in the following mantras. Now, you remember, we already learned Brahma Vidya, paravaravidya. Now, you understand paravidya, aparavidya. Okay, please listen. Brahma Vidya, Paravara Vidya, Paravidya. All three words mean the same. Aparavidya is different. Is it clear? Paravidya, Paravaravidya, Brahma Vidya are synonyms. Whereas Aparavidya is different. Okay. Now Upanishad, by mentioning the names of the student and the teacher, and the Upanishad itself presents how the student approached the teacher for this knowledge. Upanishad indirectly emphasizes the fact that whoever wants Brahma Vidya should not try independently, should not pursue Brahma Vidya independently. They must approach a traditional teacher and they must pursue knowledge of the truth only with the help of the teacher. It is emphasized here. Because you need a pramanam. Why should I approach a teacher? It is not to make the teacher important. Please understand. Why Upanishad is emphasizing repeatedly, one should not pursue self-knowledge independently. Why? Because approaching a teacher means approaching the pramanam. The pramanam is Vedanta Shastram. And Vedanta Shastram needs to be communicated, unfolded. And the teacher who unfolds the Vedanta Shastram must be the one who knows the method of unfoldment, who must study the Vedanta Shastram. The teacher actually is a teacher only if he communicates, unfolds the mantras of Upanishads. He is a teacher. If he taught something else, then we don't consider him as a teacher. He may be a teacher of something else. He is not a teacher of Brahma Vidya. Because why teacher should be approached? Because teacher stands for Upanishad. Because teacher knows Upanishad. Teacher knows the method of unfoldment of the Upanishads. Therefore, what comes out of his mouth is unfoldment of the mantras of Upanishad. Therefore, the teacher should be approached. One should not pursue independently means it is not to say teacher is important, but to say the teaching is important. The Upanishad Pramanam is important. If you do not approach the teacher means you are not approaching, you are not using Pramanam, Upanishad as the means of knowledge. Without using the Upanishad as a means of knowledge, if you study yourself, how can you have the knowledge? Keeping your eyes closed, how can you have the knowledge of the light? How can you have knowledge of the light? So for you to know there is light and what light can do, you must make use of your pramanam called eyes. So approaching a teacher actually emphasizes making use of the means of knowledge called pramanam. If you do not approach the teacher means I'm not using the Upanishad pramanam. I'm not using the Upanishad pramanam means I'm trying to understand without the pramanam. My effort will be like what? Like the blind led by the blind. Already ignorant intellect, how can it reveal anything? Okay, I told you many times, if we try to know the truth, the effort will be futile. Why? Because if you do not have bright intellect, without your intellect, any means of knowledge will be of no use. But your intellect without the aid, support will be inadequate. The best example given is if you use your eyes to watch something minutest thing, without the microscope, your eyes without the microscope will be inadequate. Your eyes are very good, but still without microscope, it will be inadequate. But microscope without your eyes will be useless, will be of no use. Similarly, your intellect without the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram will be inadequate. But your Vedanta Shastram without your intellect will be of no use. So here we are blessed with an intellect which is capable of understanding, but it needs a support of the external pramanam called Shruti, Vedanta Shastra. And Vedanta, words of Vedanta need to be unfolded for us to reveal the fact. Therefore, the teacher, Upanishad, emphasizes the fact that we should not pursue the self knowledge independently. We pursue knowledge with the help of the teacher. To emphasize that fact, here Upanishad itself presents the teaching in the form of a dialogue between the teacher and the student. The whole teaching of Upanishad given here, the whole teaching of Mundaka Upanishad given here is presented in the form of a dialogue between the student and the teacher. So the teacher student was introduced. The teacher also is introduced, and the student properly approaches the teacher, and he with great reverence, he approaches and he asks the question directly, straight away. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else, all this becomes known as it were? And the teacher does not immediately say. Gradually, slowly he begins the teaching. Brahma Vidaha Vadanti, all great wise people who come in the tradition, who come in the lineage of teachers who are before us, they all say this, that there is twofold knowledge, para and apara, two vidyas. Should be known. Paracha aparacha eva. He introduces the teaching. The fourth mantra, teacher introduces the teaching. Tasmai saho vacha dve vidye veditavye iti hasma. Yad Brahma Vido Vadanti, Brahma Vidaha Vadanti, Paracha, Yeva Aparacha. There is a Paravidya and there is Aparavidya. There is no third Vidya. What is Paravidya? What is Aparavidya? That is going to be said in the following mantras. Now, before he talks about the Paravidya, first the teacher tells what is Aparavidya. I can tell you in one sentence. Aparavidya is secondary knowledge. Knowledge of anything and everything in the objective universe except the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of anything and everything in the world, anything in the world except the knowledge of the self is Aparavidya. Knowledge of the known is Aparavidya. Knowledge of anything within the realm of matter is Aparavidya. Knowledge of anything and everything within the realm of time and space is aparavidya. A knowledge of the self, knowledge of the knower is paravidya. Knowledge of the absolute reality is paravidya. So here, how the teacher introduces aparavidya, please see the verse. Tatra, I'm reading the fifth mantra. Tatra para. You break it. Tatra, there. There means what? Regarding those two. With regard to those two fold vidya. Tatra. Apara. Tatra. Apara, tatra plus apara, because what? Tatra para, tatra plus apara, tatra para. Savarna Dirgha Sandhi. Tatra with regard to, regarding those twofold vidya, tatra, with reference to those twofold vidya. What is apara? He says first, apara rigvedo yajurvedaha rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharvavedaha rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharvavedaha rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharvavedaha tatra apara vidya. He says all four Vedas come under the category of aparavidya. All four Vedas, the most sacred spiritual literature, the most sacred, the most authentic, the most valid means of knowledge of the reality, the Veda, all four Vedas themselves come under the category of aparavidya. Rigvedo, Rigvedaha, break it, Rigvedaha. What Visarga becomes O, that we learn in Visarga Sandhi class. Rigvedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha, Atharvavedaha. Rigvedaha, Yajurvedaha, Samavedaha, Atharvavedaha. All these four Vedas come under the category of aparavidya. Tatrapara rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharvavedaha. Tatrapara rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharvavedaha. Next line. Siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruttam chando jyotishamiti. Siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruptam chando jyotishamiti. Siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruptam chando jyotishamiti. Tatrapara rigvedo yajurveda samavedo tharvavedaha. Siksha kalpo vyakaranam niruptam chando jyotishamiti. So then, not only all four Vedas, then all Veda Angas. There are six auxiliary sciences which should be studied to understand the teaching contents of the Vedas. You can study Vedas. We can understand the Vedas only if we have the knowledge of auxiliary sciences. There are six auxiliary sciences. which are siksha, kalpaha. Siksha, phonetics. Kalpaha, siksha, kalpaha. Break it. Siksha, kalpaha, vyakaranam, kalpo, vyakaranam. Break it. Kalpaha, siksha, feminine gender word. Kalpaha, masculine gender word. Vyakaranam, neutral gender word. Niruptam, neutral gender word. Chandas, neutral gender word. Jyotisham, neutral gender word. So, Vyakaranam, Niruptam, Chandas, Jyotisham, all these words are neutral gender words. Kalpaha, masculine gender word. Siksha, feminine gender word. But all these six words are what? Sixfold, six auxiliary sciences. Siksha, phonetics, kalpaha, vyakaranam, niruttam, chandas, jyotisham. The jyotisham, astronomy. Chandas, metrical science, meter. Niruptam, prosody. Vyakaranam, grammar. Kalpaha, all about rituals. I'll explain to you again all the six. Understand? Siksha, kalpaha, vyakaranam, niruptam, chandas, jyotisham, iti. Every word in detail I'll explain. But before I go to the detailed explanation of each and every word, what are these sixfold auxiliary sciences? They are known as Vedangaha. Shad Vedangaha. Shad Vedangaha means, Shat means six. Vedangaha. Vedangaha. So these Shat Vedangas, all four Vedas, all ten of them stand for the knowledge of everything and anything within the realm of the material objective universe. Okay? Material knowledge. All these six plus four, ten stand for not only Vedas and Vedangas, they stand for the knowledge of anything within the realm of the material objective universe. So material knowledge, apara vidya. Then the same mantra is also said, what is para vidya? Para vidya, say next sentence. Atha, then para yaya tad aksharam adhigamyate. I will explain this Vedangas next class. Vedas also next class. But what is para vidya? Para yaya tad aksharam adhigamyate. Atha, then para vidya is that absolute knowledge. So secondary knowledge or empirical knowledge, primary knowledge, absolute knowledge, para vidya is that by which yaya, para yaya, para vidya is that by which yaya means, yaya is what? In relative pronoun, third case, ya. Dakarantaha, strilingaha, yadshabdaha, ya, yam, yaya. Yaya is instrumental case of ya. Yaya, by which knowledge? Why? It's a relative pronoun indicating vidya. For feminine gender word. Yaya vidyaya. Para vidya is that by which. Para is that by which. Tad aksharam. Tad that. Aksharam. The imperishable. Tad aksharam. That imperishable reality adhigamyate is understood. Paravidya is that by which the absolute imperishable is understood. Paravidya is that vidya. Paravidya is that knowledge by which the imperishable reality is understood. Yatad aksharam adhigamyate. Adhigachati understands. Adhigamyate is understood. Aksharam means what? Aksharam means imperishable. What is imperishable? Everything in this universe which comes and goes is said to be perishable. Perishable means, what is perishable? Anything which comes and goes repeatedly is perishable. Anything which does not come, does not go, which is that, not anything. That which does not come, does not go, which is always there without coming and going is imperishable. What is perishable? What is imperishable? That which comes and goes, that which undergoes changes, that which keeps on undergoing changes, which comes and goes, that which is not permanently there is imperishable. Perishable. And everything here comes and goes. Nothing is absolutely, totally destructible here. Nothing can be destroyed totally. Therefore, the word ksharam means perishable. It has come from the verb ksharati. Ksharati means perishes. Ksharati means perishes. Ksharam means perishable. What is perishable? Anything and everything which comes and goes, which is subject to time, which is subject to which undergoes changes, subject to change and modification is perishable. And what is imperishable? Aksharam. Na ksharati. Iti aksharam. Na ksharati iti aksharam. So letter is called aksharam. Star is called nakshatram. Nakshatram means aksharam. So the stars also do not perish. Means relatively. But what is absolutely imperishable? Absolutely imperishable is that which does not come, that does not go, but that which is always, that which is not subject to any change is aksharam, imperishable. So, yaya vidyaya, yaya is a relative pronoun, adjective of the word vidya. For yaya vidyaya, I'm adding vidyaya. Yaya vidyaya aksharam tadaksharam adhigamyate sa vidya paravidya. You can make a sentence, complete sentence now. Yaya vidyaya tadaksharam adhigamyate sa paravidya. that knowledge by which the imperishable, absolutely imperishable reality is understood, that knowledge is absolute knowledge, paravidya. The simple language is what? Knowledge of the imperishable is paravidya. Knowledge of the perishable is aparavidya. Which means, what is imperishable? Other than reality, everything is perishable here. And it starts with Upanishads. All four Vedas, all Vedangas, and knowledge of, you can understand now, knowledge of physics, chemistry, biology, everything is aparavidya only. Everything is aparavidya. Knowledge of the perishable is aparavidya. Knowledge of the imperishable is aparavidya. Simple. But now, each, all Vedas and Vedangas, 10 of them, every word I'll explain next class. Anyway, aparavidya. But now, we'll just see this. So, tatra apara, Rigvedo Yajurveda Samavedo Tharvavedaha Siksha Kalpo Vyakaranam Niruktam Chando Jyotishamiti. Full stop. Next line. Atha Para Yaya Tadaksharamadhigamyate. Atha Para. Small pause there. Atha Para Yaya tadaksharamadhigamyate. Atha para yaya tadaksharamadhigamyate. Okay. So, in this fifth mantra, the teacher, fourth and the fifth, the fourth mantra teacher introduces the teaching, saying, giving the credit to the ancestors, the teachers, saying that always all our teachers say, the wise people say, the twofold knowledge, para and apara. And what is apara? All four Vedas, all Shadangas come under the category of apara, means whatever knowledge is there above anything in the world comes under the category of apara vidya only. And what is paravidya? Paravaravidya, paravidya, brahma vidya is the paravidya. Knowledge of the absolute reality is paravidya. Absolute reality is that which is absolutely imperishable. Imperishable means what? It has no beginning, it has no end, it doesn't undergo any changes, it exists independently, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly. In other words, absolutely imperishable is the only reality. And knowledge of that imperishable reality is paravidya. Then our interest must come. Oh, what is paravidya? What is that aksharam? What is that aksharam? What is that imperishable reality? What is imperishable reality? By knowing which, everything else becomes known as it were. So the next mantra, the teacher is going to introduce actually the one of the important mantras of this Mundaka Upanishad is the sixth mantra. Sixth and the seventh. Why? Because that in that mantra, Upanishad is presenting the swarupam of absolute reality. What is reality? What the reality is? Upanishad presents many words. Each and every word reveals reality in terms of its nature. No word used in the following mantra, sixth mantra, directly denotes, directly indicates, directly shows the reality. No word can directly show. Because in fact, no word is capable of revealing the reality. Even though no word is capable of revealing the reality, no word can reveal the reality. Because reality is the source of knowledge and word is expression of knowledge. How can expression of knowledge reveal the source of knowledge? But still, words are used by the Upanishad. And know all the words in the following very important mantra. It reveals the nature of reality is unfolded in the following mantra. It means all, so many words are used in the mantra. But no word directly shows, denotes, reveals the reality. What are the words rule? Each and every word reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. By knowing the nature revealed by the words, and we have to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature. Therefore, Swarupa Lakshanam is revealed by the words. What is the, how the reality is. Okay, I'm going to stop the class because next class you will know briefly about four Vedas and the six Vedangas, and we'll enter into the most important crux verses of Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad. If most, like how Bhagavad Gita, some verses are very important. Whoever talks on Bhagavad Gita will talk about Karmanyeva Adhikaraste. If anybody has to talk anything about Mundaka Upanishad, they cannot miss these two verses. Sixth and this seventh. Understand Ishvara, understand the reality, nature reality. Following two verses are important verses. I will take up for unfoldment next class. Okay. But one thing I want to understand. So knowledge of anything other than the self is knowledge of non-self. Knowledge of non-self or the material object is aparavidya. And here the Vedas are all in the form of words. Vedas are in the form of words. And the words are in the form of thoughts. Thoughts are internal in the mind. So very subtle. Even that knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts, which had to be expressed through words, or is aparavidya. But the source of aparavidya and the source of paravidya is one and the same reality. Aparavidya, paravidya, all vidya, the source of all knowledge is one and the same only reality.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You know, we talk, so we say Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur, they're all aparavidya.
Yeah.
You know, Veda also includes Vijnana Kanda. So is that aparavidya as well?
No. Entire Veda. All four Vedas means all three Kandas. Karma Kandaha, Upasana Kandaha, Jnana Kandaha. Why all Upanishad books, Upanishads are also aparavidya. All Upanishads are also aparavidya because it's very difficult for us to accept. But you understand why later on. Aham Brahma Asmi, that knowledge alone is paravidya. The means of knowledge also is apravidya. The knowledge aham brahmasmi, I the self am the reality, which is the absolute knowledge, which is absolute wisdom. The knowledge alone is paravidya. Okay? Anyway, we'll see next class. So now I want you to memorize all 5 mantras before I go to Nam Mantra 6 and 7. And the 6 and 7, I'll teach you, then you can memorize. Don't worry about it. We must memorize 6th and 7th. Then I will teach you next class. But now we learn 5 mantras. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.